Okay, which one of you guys scheduled Utah and Dallas on a Thursday night? Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today podcast, the sports ethos presentation. Hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Today we are looking ahead at week four strategy. We've got some pretty cool stuff here. You know, we broke out the pencil and the paper and the abacus, and we figured out next week's schedule so you guys don't have to. And I am extraordinarily thrilled to bring you guys the results. We are not doing this episode on Twitter or YouTube live, but we do that on occasion. So you guys should check out our shows Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, where Doc and I or myself are going on or around 9 p.m. Pacific or 9 a.m. Pacific and noon Eastern time. And then at night, we are doing four shows with Doc and Rick Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, Ethos After Dark. We're doing two episodes per day here on Fantasy NBA Today. So hit the subscribe button, hit that like button, hit all the buttons. Every button counts in today's day and age of algorithmic content, and everything you guys do for us is totally appreciated. And quickly, let's say hi to our sponsor. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch the games as they happen with the largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA, college basketball, NHL, to UFC and MMA. Head to BetOnline today. Get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering, BetOnline. The game starts here. Doc. Yes, you, Doc. After all of that studying we did for this episode, are you ready to break down the most incredible strategy known to man on how to stream your favorite players into your lineup for total domination?
It is kind of exciting. And props to, I mean, people hear us talk about Andre. You'll never see him. He's the invisible man, but we spent a lot of time putting this show together. So props to him. Also, I think a lot of us old timers are like, well, the NBA is always on TNT on Thursdays, but it's really not until after football's over. So there's some weird stuff. Like, we have a one game Thursday coming up with Utah and Dallas. Like, I love Dallas as much as anybody. I don't even know if I'm going to watch that game.
I think you and Rick are going to be partying it up for Ethos After Dark, answering user questions, taking on the bigger, larger topics that we don't get time for on a, say, 15-game Monday that we just went through. I mean, it's kind of nice that it slows down every once in a while. So you can kind of gather yourself, see what's going on with the league at large. So definitely check these guys out. And they're a hoot. I will just add that. You guys are a hoot on that show. It's almost like you guys lived together for 6 months or something.
We're a hoot-a-loot.
Hoot-a-loot. All right. Well, let's get into it. Just some quick background. You know, half the teams got teams in the league got four games this week. The other half have three games. I know we're really breaking news with that intel, but two teams have two games this upcoming week. That's Denver and Golden State. So just kind of keep that in the back of your minds as we go here. As Doc's mentioning, we got the Thursday with the one game. That's kind of a little bit of the centerpiece of some of the stuff that we're going to talk about here with streaming and getting ahead of the action. Your low traffic days, you got five teams with two games on low traffic days, which are days that have five games or fewer. That's Sacramento, San Antonio, Utah, Dallas, and New Orleans. So just kind of, if you're taking notes at home, you want to write those down and then just give them a little bit of extra credence as you make your streaming decisions. And then we're really focusing on the Monday games to start this episode, because Monday, if you do this right, you can really start to filter into the one game Thursday strategy. And you could probably take a chance on a guy streaming Monday and then turn around and spin it into a Utah or Dallas player. And they can then kind of be the centerpiece of your streaming strategy if you do this right, depending on who we like and what's going on. And especially since things could change between now and Monday.
And the other question is, are there players good enough on Dallas or Utah to do it for? So it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as we record here over the weekend, you know, we, you know, could see something happen over the weekend that kind of changes the analysis here. So just keep that in mind. We're trying to get ahead of the curve here so you guys can get ahead of the curve. And let's get right to it. So the five teams that play on Monday, you got Sacramento at San Antonio. You got Brooklyn at New Orleans. You got Washington at Houston, Clippers at Thunder, and then Cleveland at Chicago. So if you have a streaming spot on your team, getting ahead after the weekend action and sort of plotting this out and getting ahead, let's start with Sacramento at San Antonio. Who are you looking at and why? Let's start with them.
Well, I will tell you that Devin Vassell is coming back for San Antonio, right? And he's going to mess, or he came back on Friday, didn't he?
Yeah.
Today's
sources
Friday.
Say.
Yeah. He came back on Friday. So now, Julian Shimpenny, kind of up in the air a little bit. Harrison Barnes, Harry B. could take a little bit of a hit. Keldon Johnson, take a little bit of it. Stephon Castle could take a big hit. So it's pretty interesting. I think you could probably still stream Stephon Castle on Monday and be okay.
I kind of feel like Champagne might be available in a lot of leagues.
And if he's available, I like him better than Castle.
Yeah, yeah. If Champagne is available, because maybe even if, like, there's leagues where people don't know that he's good. But if he gets dropped because of Vassell's return, this is a great opportunity. I think he should be picked up outright. I think he's a top 100 play the rest of the season. I think he has a chance to finish inside the top 75 if he plays, you know, a normal amount of games for a young guy that's good for his team. So with that said, I would be looking there. The Castle one's really interesting because with no Sohan, that really opens up the door for more minutes. And it feels to me like it's going to be kind of a light switch is either off or on kind of thing for him. Like it's going to be off until it's on, until they say, okay, kid, go out there and play. Like, don't worry so much about all the stuff that Pop, you know, puts in, you know, young point guards' minds, you know, like just go out there and play. And then at that point in time, you'll see the popcorn stats, the points, the boards and the assists really start to climb for him. And then, you know, everything else will be a question mark. And then at some point in time, with Castle, you're sitting on a little bit of a pile of gold because Chris Paul, you know, he's not exactly known for playing all of his games. And if that ever happens, then am I correct? It is Stephen Castle's show to run, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's Trey Jones' show anymore.
No. I mean, maybe they try to run as much as possible through Vassell, and that takes a little bit of the it's your show out of his show, but I like when you get an opportunity to stream a player that also has long-term potential that you would otherwise not take a chance on. These are little sneaky opportunities here. Anybody else in San Antonio that you would be considering for just some fringe streamer action?
I think that's about it.
Yeah. Sacramento, if Keon Ellis is available, stop what you're doing and go pick him up.
Keon Ellis.
I mean, he should be owned outright. That's just the way it goes. But players like Herder might be available in a format, you know, depending on what kind of format you're in. I think Herder, both those players, I think they like both of them right now in Sacramento. I think they're trying, and actually they played together for a little bit of a stretch where normally they would have been subbed in for one another. And I thought that was sneaky interesting. I thought that might be the white flag from Mike Brown saying, okay, I get it. I got to play Keon. Then outside of those guys, I think because they're so top heavy with the minutes, there's really nobody there that deserves fantasy consideration outside of, you know, Ellis and Herder after the big four who are already, unless Monk.
If Malik Monk's been dropped in your league, which is possible, he's off to a really slow start. I think he would be a good option as well.
The overall question I have for Sacramento is, did they turn over the car keys to DeMar DeRozan temporarily? If they gave him carte blanche and said, hey, do what you want, then the next question I have is, are they ever going to be able to rip those car keys out of his hands? Because he's at about 18 shots. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but actually I could very quickly. That screen is up on my page here. I'll get to the numbers in 3 seconds here. He is at, unfortunately, they don't put the number on that page. he's at a lot of shots per game. It's like 18, I want to say. And that is more, I think, than the other players on his team would have preferred. 17 and a half is the number there for DeRozan. And if that doesn't come down, Malik Monk, yeah, it's going to be rough sledding for him. Keegan, it won't be as great as it could be. You know, De'Aaron will survive, but it might not be ideal, even though De'Aaron's doing just fine to start the season off. So interesting
well,
stuff.
That's the thing. That's the most interesting thing to me is you've dropped DeMar DeRozan into the middle of this thing in Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis are all still eating. They're all fine right now. Will they be fine? You know, a month from now, I'm guessing they will. I don't know that for sure. But Malik Monk has definitely been the guy that's taken the hit because Kevin Herter has been better than I thought he was going to be. So with DeRozan,
it's not like Herter's taking a ton of shots either. You know, no. I want to say he's taking like 8 shots a game or something. So it's not like, and you could, I was trying to figure this out for my own purposes. Like if Herter gets off the floor, you could combine those shots into he and Keon shots into like 15 or something. And make a perfect puzzle there for Sacramento. But even when you do that, there's no way to kind of like Sabonis got 6 shots in the last game. Like that's crazy. And he had a great line, by the way. He had a bunch of free throws and it all worked out. There's a lot of good happening in Sacramento with this stuff. But Malik Monk could be on the outside looking in. And if that's the case, he represents a pretty good streaming play because he will be yapping in Mike Brown's ear. I guarantee you that.
How mad is Malik Monk right now?
Oh, very mad. And anytime he gets the ball right now, he's trying to dunk out that that anger into the hoop. It's pretty cool to watch what's going on in Sacramento right there. They're so close to figuring something out, and they need a shot blocker. If they get that, they can be in a tier below OKC in the West. Let's get to Brooklyn and New Orleans, who play on Monday. A lot of different streaming potential in this game. I mean, both teams are – I mean, Brooklyn by kind of default has a scrambled-up roster, and then New Orleans has at least 4 key injuries off the top of my head that have opened things up. I know you talk about Brandon Boston a lot in the last show. Where are you at with him? Is this maybe your top, other than Jose Alvarado, streaming option? But I assume Jose Alvarado is already picked up in most leagues. But
yeah, I mean, Boston and Alvarado are two big ones for sure. And I love, like, Cam Lewis kind of sold me on Brandon Boston. And I picked him up and dropped it. I forget who I dropped. It might have been Mike Conley right before his double-double. But now, with this, I can play Brandon Boston on Monday and then cut him and then play, you know, one of those other teams that has 4 games the rest of the week and get 5 games in for the week. Like, it gives me an excuse to go out and pick up Brandon Boston, which I think is a good idea anyway. But we don't know if Brandon Boston is really going to happen. It's just kind of a hunch. So I like having an excuse and a reason to go pick up Brandon Boston.
Yeah, and you got Jordan Hawkins that's now out for a week or two. That opens things up. Wondering, you know, obviously you got you got Zion who's kind of hanging out there. He could be in or out of a game at a moment's notice. Is there anybody else on that squad that you think rises to the threshold of a pickup in a streaming standard situation?
I don't see it. Maybe Daniel Theis.
Maybe
Yves Mesey. One of those two.
Mesey might have been dropped in a league. And that's a really interesting kind of a situation because I think he will get his blocks if he gets his minutes for the most part. And then what do we get out of Trey Murphy? You know, is he back this week? That could scramble up the entire situation and knock a couple streamers off the board here. As far as Brooklyn goes, like there are a bunch of players that, you know, people have had on their radar for some sort of a reason. You know, Clowney has been bad this season, dealing with kind of, you know, hip stuff, but then illness stuff. Do you think Clowney is worth kind of a flyer pickup in a streaming situation like this?
Maybe. I think I'd rather roll the dice on Ben Simmons or Clam Johnson.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I said it.
You did say it. That spiced it up real quick here. Ben Simmons.
What a beautiful way to pick up Ben Simmons, right? You pick him up, you play him on Monday. If he sucks, which he probably will, you cut him and move on, and you're good to go. If he doesn't, and he goes off, then maybe you keep him and see what he does in the next one.
Yeah, I got guys like Dorian Finney-Smith, even Jalen Wilson. If you're in a deep league situation, I think Wilson in March and April will be fantasy relevant. That doesn't do much for us right now, but at least that gives you a little bit of, like, if you're in a very deep league situation and you're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle, I think Jalen Wilson could be worth a look. In a standard league situation, I think Dorian Finney-Smith is actually a pretty strong play.
I do too. Like, Dorian Finney-Smith reminds me of, Royce O'Neal. Like, they're the same invisible guy in a team where you never really see them play, but they always are putting up these random nice little stat lines.
Yeah, let's take it to Washington at Houston. I mean, Washington's got some crazy stuff going on. I mean, the Jordan Poole thing is crazy. Sar is going really well. Obviously, these aren't streamer guys, but Kyle Kuzma sort of off the radar there. This team's really being fashioned around a somewhat predictable core. You got Bub Carrington. I don't think Bub Carrington's available in too many competitive leagues, but if he's available, you got to kind of stop what you're doing and put him on your squad, right?
I think there's three really good ones, maybe four. I think you can stream Bub Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Corey Kispert, and is Jonas Valanciunas still rostered everywhere? I don't even know.
Yeah, he'd be worth a stream because you know you're going to get 8 points and 8 rebounds in a block in his 19 minutes.
Corey Kispert, though. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Kispert is going to probably have a shot at 20 points, you know, in the game. And then, I think the Bilal stuff is probably not too – I mean, maybe some standards don't have Bilal all scooped up already. But Keyshawn George, I mean, first of all, the guy is shooting like just over 30% this season. And that is going to work itself out. Like, he's not going to shoot 30% the entire season. So if he goes on a heater Monday, Houston's not a great matchup. I'll just throw that out there. Houston's defense is ready to play. Maybe they take a game off. Maybe they – you know, put more of their offensive players on the court thinking that this is a game that they can kind of just walk through and get those guys some points and some production. And, you know, guys like Şengün, you know, haven't been playing much in the fourth quarter. Maybe this is a get right, so to speak, game for them. And they don't throw those defensive maniacs and Tari Eason and Amen Thompson on the floor and make all of the Washington Wizards players want to go home early. That would be the concern there. On the Houston side, who do you like? If I had to give you a list of guys, I mean, Amen Thompson's probably rostered everywhere, I hope. Eason is probably rostered everywhere, I hope. I mean, Eason is a fifth-round value or something this season, and, you know, Amen is Amen. But do you like anybody in this crew of Dylan Brooks, Reed Shepherd, or Steven Adams?
Real quickly, Tari Eason, when I wrote my ESPN column yesterday, was rostered in 12.9% of ESPN leagues. So he's out there.
That's great.
And available. ESPN smaller leagues, it's more 8 and 10 team leagues, whereas Yahoo is more 12 teams. But nonetheless, that number's low. So I would not just discount going to see if Tari Eason's available in your league. He's returning.
Here's a fun one. I'm going to step all over you. Apologies, sir.
Do it. Do it.
Tari or Amen? Rest of the season. For you.
Oh.
Not even a streamer question. I just wanted to throw this to me is like a juicy.
I don't know. They're like peanut oil and corn oil, Aaron. I really, really can't tell the difference.
Stop what you're doing and Google peanut oil versus corn oil. Just do it.
David Letterman. I'm going to say Tari Eason. He's got the hot hand right now.
Yeah, I'll go with Amon Thompson, but I just thought it was a really interesting question that popped up in my brain. Okay, back to the thing that we were talking about before that question came up. Brooks, Reed Shepard, or Steven Adams as a streamer?
Is Adams healthy?
Five minutes a game healthy.
Oh, okay.
The kind of answer. But, you know, he might get one additional minute over Reed Shepard. Who knows?
Man, that Reed Shepard thing didn't really work out like some of us thought it would. Did it?
No, and it's interesting just to see the size issue kind of play out immediately on the floor, which is fine. I think he'll work through that over the long haul, but not on this team. This team is stacked. So is Dylan Brooks the play here?
Yeah, I like Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, and it, you just keep your expectations in check. You're playing the streaming game for a reason, and there's probably better streaming options on the board for you here. Let's take it next to Clippers at Oklahoma City. I think there's a couple great streaming options here. Actually, let's start right there since I led with it. We'll go into the home team side, Oklahoma City. I mean, this is a kind of, you almost have to stream one of the Dort and Caruso guys if they're available in your league. Like, yeah, it's a little hit or miss, but.
I mean, there's lots of options. They're just all very scary. There's Kaysen Wallace. There's Isaiah Joe. There's Caruso. There's Usman Dang. There's Luke
Wiggins.
Dort.
Wiggins.
There's Aaron Wiggins. There's a lot.
They paid Wiggins and Joe. And Joe is going to do Joe things. That's what it is. But Wiggins has been kind of out there front and center in spots where I would be like, oh, maybe we'll see more Dort or maybe we'll see more Caruso. And it's like, nah, we're going to get Wiggins. And a couple times I've been watching Wiggins. I'm like, is that Jalen Williams? Oh, no. No. That's Aaron Wiggins. It's a luxury that they have at Oklahoma City that's just crazy. And Kaysen Wallace, I love the guy. I wish he was on another team. If you're ranking these guys, who's your top streamer target?
Oh, Lu Dort.
I would say Caruso, but you're probably right on Dort. I just want to mix it up a little bit.
Is Caruso available? I mean, I feel like he's not. But maybe Dort's not either.
It's hard to say, and we are looking a little bit ahead here. So, you know, obviously if injury winds, you know, blow a certain direction, then you can kind of adjust. But for me, it's that Caruso sort of has a documented history that that he can have top 75 value in low minutes. Whereas with Dort, I feel like he's had to have the big minutes to get into those higher valuations. And so for me, it's Caruso, but Dort's sort of had better pop in this season so far. So you're probably right on Dort, but I would take Caruso, even if it made me wrong. On the other side of the equation, this team is sort of streamer central. I mean, you got guys like Chris Dunn, Derek Jones, Nick Batum, Terrence Mann, even KPJ. Like, which of these names rises to the top of your list?
These are my boys. This is my squad. I even have Amir Coffey on my 30 deep team. I've got like the whole thing.
I was waiting. Roster. We were just as time of mention, 23:46 into the show, Steve and his 30 deep team that are tops in the league.
Getting ready to crush. Terrence Mann, it's a pretty big one. Derek Jones Jr., I'll stream Amir Coffey right now, and I'll stream Chris Dunn. Like, there's a ton of options.
Did you pick one?
If I had to pick one of those guys, is that your question?
Yeah, that was my... Which came out like as a threat almost. Pick one. Damn it.
If Norm Powell is not available, and he better not be, I'm going to go with Derek Jones Jr.
Okay. I would probably, I mean, needs probably come into play. Like if you don't need steals, Chris Dunn maybe isn't the guy, but he's the one that I always like look at to see, can he get like two steals, two blocks, and you know, some goodies elsewhere and kind of reach up into a top 75 game. He does it every once in a while. Batum maybe as well. But you know what? Actually, these guys are so equally positioned. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. might, in his 20 minutes, give you something good. And in a game against Oklahoma City, the interesting thing here is you might see a phenomenon where they put players on the floor who can physically match up, because if you don't, you're going to get steamrolled. So that's guys like Chris Dunn. It's like Derek Jones, Batum maybe for his experience, but then like a KPJ, if we're saying, hey, look, we can't get a shot off, you know, maybe KPJ starts coming in because he can get a shot off. Let's move it into Cleveland at Chicago. Cleveland's got the best schedule this week. No back-to-backs, four games. So they're going to be nice and fresh. And maybe the best streamer option, though, is probably not available in too many leagues. It's Caris LeVert. He's got a nice window here. And that's, you know, like I said, I think it might have already been taken advantage of, but he's the top guy here out of Cleveland, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Ike Okoro, but to me, Caris LeVert's the only legit one I want to mess with.
Do you think that LeVert, if he's available in a league, do you think he's the top streamer pickup of the week?
Yes. Given the schedule, given the no back-to-backs, I would say he's up there.
Yeah. Out of the non-LeVert crew, anybody, like, when I heard you say Okoro, I'm going, nah. Like, I just can't do it.
And I'm not doing it either.
Yeah, you're trying to reach for the best name of the rest of the bunch. So that's all we need to know. So you don't have the stones to play Dean Wade. You don't have the stones to play Sam Merrill. Don't have stones. And I should not say it that way. You should not be playing these guys, I don't think, unless you're in a 30-team league. Let's look at the other side of the equation in Chicago. There is some pretty intriguing names here. I mean, Pat Williams, I don't think people get intrigued by, but the next few names, Ayo Dosunmu, Jalen Smith, Matas Pucelis. You have my attention talking about these names. How would you rank these guys as far as streamers go, and maybe even just some rest of season outlook?
Well, first of all, I just looked it up. Caris LeVert's owned in 56% of ESPN leagues. That means Caris LeVert is rostered in almost every competitive Yahoo league. So that may be a pipe dream. Moving on to the Bulls, that's who you're talking about, correct?
That's correct.
Dosunmu, Jalen Smith, Pat Williams, those are the guys. Maybe is Taylor Horton Tucker doing anything? I don't know. I like Ayo Dosunmu the best out of that group.
Yeah, I was briefly just trying to figure out what the roster percentage was for Caris LeVert in Yahoo leagues, but the I like Ayo perhaps the best out of this group because of the rest of season equation. I think if anything happens with LaVine, if this team starts to go south for whatever reason, all that can happen for Ayo is good. Like, all he can do is learn how to play better, get, you know, better shots off, improve his shooting overall, get more usage. Like, this is the bottom of the barrel for him, and it's not been great. I mean, I don't think his shooting percentages are good or even close to good right now, but I think it's got a good possible last half of the season attached to it if you can get lucky and have Dosunmu on a roster at the right time. So with that said, that's interesting. And then Pucelis actually started making some noise. You got that look about you, Steve.
Dude, Caris LeVert, I just looked it up. 26% in Yahoo.
In Yahoo?
How is it half of what it is in ESPN? That's crazy.
Yeah, I just see that with my own eyes. So why I stopped? We're video. We can see each other over here. And the look on Steve's face was something like, I'm like, what happened? Are we all good? What's going on? LeVert.
Wild. So, okay, so were you talking to Pucelis?
Yeah, I was talking up with Sells a little bit because at least he's had some productivity lately. I mean, they've, you know, they want to play him in the G League and who knows what's what. But at least you have my interest because I do think that that guy can play. I think they're holding him back. And that's, of course, why you wouldn't, you know, go over the moon for this guy. And really, maybe the guy that's got the most current fantasy value is Jalen Smith because he has center eligibility in a lot of leagues. That might matter more in a league where you have more centers you need to play. In terms of per minute upside, he's not the best in that category, but at least he's put numbers up on the board in lower minutes in the past. Injuries are a concern for him. But again, if Vucevic, something happens, they want to tank, they want to trade. Those aren't exactly likely scenarios, by the way. It's not like he's got the most tradable contract in the world. It's not like, you know, the Bulls are champing at the bit to get rid of him right now. But if that was to happen, Jalen Smith would have a nice little path there. But a lot of injury risk. I got to just kind of double down on that with Jalen Smith. So your top guy in the Patrick Williams, Ayo Dosunmu, Jalen Smith, Matis Bacsellis would be?
Dosunmu.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you there. Unless you need a center, then I would go Jalen Smith.
And I've got Jalen on a dynasty team, so I do want him to do well. So I'm pulling for him. Dude, Chicago's a disaster. They're not very good. Pat Williams. When are they finally going to give up on Pat Williams? I've been told 4 straight years that he's going to break out this year.
I fell for it once. I feel bad enough for that. They're falling for it 3.5 years later. That's not right. Yeah, no, they don't do anything quickly in Chicago, and it's just going to be interesting. If Zach LaVine can stay upright, I think it will almost be a bad thing for them unless they can trade him as a result of it. So that's the 5 games on Monday. We're going to quickly do a question of, for the 2-game teams, what would we do with them in a start-sit situation for the week? But then we'll get back to what are we doing with the rest of the week, and then we'll wrap this up and get out of here. But the 2 teams that have 2 games this upcoming week, Denver and Golden State, which ones, not named Nikola Jokic or Stephen Curry, are you going to be starting in a 2 games versus 4 games situation? Since half the league's got 4 games this week, you're going to come up across this where you got players on these teams. They're higher value players. Who gets the call? I'll go, and let's just stipulate that the 4-game player is getting you something in the ballpark of top 125 to 150 value per game. So those numbers, when they kind of compile up, start to be valued in, say, like the top 50 range, you know, against a 2-gamer. So somebody inside the top 50 is kind of what we're looking at here. So we'll start with Denver. If you had a 2-gamer, or probably a 4-gamer going up against, say, Jamal Murray, do you start Jamal Murray or the 4-gamer?
I'm starting a 4-gamer.
I agree. Michael Porter Jr.
Especially with Jamal Murray's injury standing right now, like, it's kind of shaky.
It is kind of shaky, as is everything in Denver right now. Michael Porter Jr.
I can find a guy with 4 games I'd rather play.
Interesting, interesting. Christian Brown.
I can probably find a guy with 4 games I'd rather play.
It sounds like you're not liking the risk that something happens in the second, one of the 2 games that tips it over.
I don't even love playing Jokic for 2 games, but I'd probably do that.
Yeah.
The rest of it. No, I much prefer, let me get a guy that can go have maybe 1 huge game, 2 decent games, and 1 dud, versus a guy that may have 1 good game and 1 bad game.
I do think the devil's in the details with this, because a top 100 guy that goes kind of baseline for 4 games, you know, that starts to equate to top 25 value compared to a 2-game guy. So these you do need to play well. A Jokic can kind of cruise and beat that mark. But the risk in any one time of in any of these 2-game situations where they're in a blowout, They play 27 minutes. You know, it's a lackadaisical game. Something bad happens. You know, and you can flip it and you can say, yeah, these guys will go off, but that's all baked into the equation to begin with. So these are very interesting questions. Now, on the Golden State side, Steph? Question mark?
I mean, it depends on who I got. But if I'm in a week, are there even any weekly lineup leagues still in existence besides 30 deep?
Besides 30 deep, which was voted down. I put it out there. Somebody's like, hey, can we flip this into a kind of a daily situation? And it got voted down. Voted down.
Bunch of cretins.
I love it.
I mean, in a vacuum, you're going to play Steph Curry because he's that good.
He is that good.
What have you got? I mean, how many games does Washington play?
I believe they're a four-gamer. Let me quickly look. I think Washington is four games.
So this is a better way to do this. Are you playing Jordan Poole or are you playing Steph Curry?
No, oh, Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's been producing more than Steph Curry.
Yeah. So, but I mean,
Steph is kind of, even no matter wherever he is in a given like segment of your production, like if it's this 2 weeks or next 2 weeks or 2 weeks in March, whatever, he's a top 25 threat, if not a top five threat.
Okay. Dennis Schroeder, four games. Steph Curry, two games.
I'll take Steph and hate every minute of it.
I'll take Dennis all day. Like, that's the thing, dude. Two games is not a lot. Like, I don't know. It's hard. It's tricky.
It's a tricky one. Okay, so if we're having trouble with Steph, then the next question becomes,
now, if you want to ask me, Caris LeVert versus Steph. Probably.
Caris LeVert.
I'm probably going Steph.
You're going to go Steph? Okay, yeah, I would go Steph because I went Steph in the other scenario, which was probably a little bit tougher, but I'll get LeVert's value here in a second. But let's go to the only player I think that rises to the threshold of a question, would you start them for two games instead of a four-game player who's producing in the top 125 to 150 range, is Buddy Hield. Flamethrower. Bloody Hield, bloodying up the opposition. Like, he is a top 15 guy to start the season. So he fits the criteria, right? Are you going to gamble that Buddy Hield keeps it going? Because if he's a top 15 guy, he beats a top 100 guy in four games. If he has two top 15 games, he beats the top 100 guy going four games.
I play Schroeder over Buddy. I probably play Caris LeVert for four over Buddy. This is tough, man. I mean, what if you even look at Tim Hardaway Jr. playing four games for Detroit versus Buddy playing two? Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to score 75 points for the week. He's going to hit 14 triples. Like, it's hard to overcome two games.
It really is. And just to kind of balance that out, Buddy Hield, through his first eight games of the season, 21 points, 4.6 threes, 4.5 boards, 2.3 assists.
42 points and 10 threes.
That's right. That's
right.
The
whole week.
And you got Tim Hardaway, who's eclipsing those numbers, but is Tim Hardaway getting you a steal and a half a block per game and also shooting 51.7% and 85.7% from the foul line on a decent little chunk of two free throws per game?
But is that one steal and one block you're going to get from Buddy? Does that change your season? Or two steals and one block?
No, but the percentages, and this comes down to whether or not the percentages matter to you. I think there's a lot to be discussed there, you know, and I'm personally speaking more from a roto perspective, just because that's what I play most in a head-to-head matchup. Do those percentages matter to you? And what I've consistently gotten from both you and Rick is that those are the categories, and maybe more Rick, because I don't recall you saying this, but Rick really does fade those percentages in the head-to-head. If those don't matter, a lot of buddies' value kind of dissipates.
I think when you're talking about playing Tim Hardaway Jr. over Buddy Hield, we know that Buddy Hield, based on how he's played so far this season, which is off the charts, has been incredible. So the numbers, the percentages, all favors Buddy Hield. It's safe. It's safe is all it really is. But if you want to try to beat somebody's ass and take a swing for the fences, what if Tim Hardaway Jr., so what if he had one monster game and then three decent ones and he has the potential to put up so many more numbers than Buddy Hield. What I think we should do with this.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Is calculate all this after the fact and see if you would have played Tim Hardaway Jr., if you would have played Dennis Schroeder, or you would have played Buddy Hield or Caris LeVert, here's what you got.
Yep.
And I'm very curious to see. I could see Tim Hardaway Jr. beating Buddy Hield in every single category.
I really like where this is headed. And our producer from France, André Lemouche, would hopefully gladly put that together for us. I hope. And after I said that, it's probably a hard no. This is a fascinating conversation. I do think that these strategy questions, you know, it's like, okay, with Buddy, like, yeah, maybe you want to swing for the fences. Well, maybe you look across the line and you see a team that just happened to be stacked and you're trying to win. And you know that you do need to reach up to the clouds. That's when you might take the higher upside. And if you're just cruising and you need to not get any zeros, four games of Tim Hardaway definitely makes a lot of sense there. But
I have one last point on this. When I log in, now I'm a games play guy. I'm not a guy. I'm not a roto guy. I play zero roto. I play a lot of head-to-head. I have 1 points league. But when I get in, almost all my leagues are on Yahoo or Fantrax or CBS. But when I get into Yahoo and look at my team for the week in my matchup, it says games played, games played. If I have more games played than my opponent, I feel like I'm going to win. It's a big deal.
It is a huge deal. And this is a fascinating conversation that definitely deserves its own podcast, probably during the off season, but we'll push through. And I would love to see the results of this and just kind of see how it all goes. Also, by the way, Buddy Hield due to fall off at some point, but as I discussed in a past episode, he's doing exactly what they want him to do and need him to do. The role and everything that's going on with him is not necessarily going to change. And he's also a guy that's not exactly prone to slumps. He's one of the best shooters in the league. So we'll see how it all goes. Fascinating stuff. The second half of this strategy, if you were streaming into the Monday games, really boils down to, can you get Utah and Dallas into your equation and enjoy the fact that they have games on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday? And that is a nice little calculus there. They're the two teams, Utah and Dallas, that have three games between Thursday and Sunday. And quickly, before we get into those two teams, the teams that have just one game heading into the end of the week, Portland, Golden State, Orlando, Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly. So if you're sitting there looking at your roster and you're like, I got some guys that I would consider dropping, you know, if you're looking for a streamer bait, these are the six teams that only have the one game toward the tail end of the week. So you can kind of factor that into your corn cob pipe, and you can smoke it that way. Dallas and Utah, where at the top of the list, let's go both teams. Who's your favorite streamer out of that bunch?
I'm not looking at them both on the same screen. So I'm intrigued by Najee Marshall in Dallas. Who's the other one in Utah?
Dallas and Utah, baby.
Yeah, that's going to be a What a Thursday night that's going to be. Cody Williams.
Najee Marshall didn't jump to the top of your list?
I said Najee Marshall. Jordan Clarkson?
I kind of wonder if P.J. Washington is available in a lot of leagues.
Well, he was balling, but he's been hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And so I'm kind of discounting him because I feel like he's hurt. But if he's going to play, I think he climbs up to the top of the list.
Yeah. Yeah, if he's playing, that's for sure. Najee Marshall seems like the safe play here. Like, you're probably going to get some level of minutes, even regardless of the injury situation around him. Like, he's played 20 minutes a game this season with normal lineups, you know, full strength, medium strength. The production's not bad. You know, top 175 in a 9-cap format. That plays for me. I mean, if you're going to get the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday combo, if you wanted to ride it the entire way, you could. And then if you want to get off the bus, you can get off the bus. But if you're trying to max out games played, that top 175 starts to look like, you know, he's competing with other top 100 guys in that range.
Did you just ask me a question?
It's the most pregnant pause of all time.
I'm like, Bruce, not talking.
They say, be comfortable in silence. I was just going to let that go.
He stopped talking. He's either dead or he asked me a question, and yeah, I slipped right through it.
It was a glitch in the matrix. The Dallas side, I think we've pretty well hashed out here. Utah, though, like, I mean, talk about the island of misfit toys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Colin Sexton's available in leagues at this point.
Dude, Keontae George might be available. Colin Sexton. John Collins might be available.
Yes.
Lauri Markkanen's been crap. He might be available. I mean, who knows? What a disaster. Yeah.
Trying to thread the needle here. I'd say guys like Jordan Clarkson. I don't think Collins is available in a competitive league.
He shouldn't be.
Like Clarkson, and then that's probably the guy I think that you would be targeting in a normal situation. And then, you know, Filipowski, he hasn't done anything with his opportunity, but he might actually make it. I don't think outside of a very deep league. This is a very bad team. And in terms of targeting a strategy, it's essentially like Najee Marshall and Jordan Clarkson, and that's actually not bad.
Clarkson is 30% rostered in Yahoo.
You know, if you were to take the overall, you know, there's guys we like in the Monday games, and you should definitely give them all the credibility in the world. But if you're kind of looking, you could go LeVert, Clarkson, Najee Marshall, and call it a day with a streamer strategy heading into the week. That might actually make some sense. Anybody else rise to the threshold?
Najee Marshall, 2%.
2%, yeah.
2% roster.
And that's fine. But still, top 175 value, that's not 2% territory. It should be more, especially considering some of the opportunity that he's gotten this week. Friday, 12 games. It's really hard to stream on those days. Saturday, you know, by the time you get to the upcoming Saturday, the entire chessboard will be different, but you're going to get a good opportunity to stream on that day. And then, you know, as far as those teams, you got Milwaukee, Charlotte, Toronto, Boston, Lakers, Pelicans, Spurs, Mavs, Utah, Sacramento. That's your last stand.
By the way, John Collins, 88% rostered in ESPN or in Yahoo, and PJ Washington, 69%.
Get more people to play in your leagues or something is my thing. I don't want to besmirch here, but like that's just not ideal when guys that would be drafted in the eighth round of leagues are just sitting there available. Yeah, so if you're looking at Milwaukee, Chicago, or Charlotte, Toronto, Boston, Lakers, Pelicans, Spurs, Mavs, Jazz, Kings at the back end of the week, that's going to be where you look at for that final push. So when you get into your planning for the week, maybe just put a little asterisk by those teams so you can, if there's any tiebreaker situations or if you're in the middle of the week and you're looking to get ahead, just have a list next to your desk. And just when you're going through your waiver wire, just know that those are the teams to target. And then also go to the sportsethos.com premium fantasy pass section where you can get streaming schedules and you can get all sorts of different tools to help you navigate all of this projections, which are Vegas grade projections that are based on the B150 that are also worked on in a way that's really not being done out there in the industry because it's very tough to do so. It's a lot of elbow grease. It's a lot of sweat equity to put that much time into these projections, but that's the path that we're choosing to take here. And we want to make sure that you guys have the best intel that you guys can make your decisions with. So if you are a Fantasy Pass member, get in there and use that stuff. It is extraordinary. And especially if you're betting as well, over under all that stuff, it's great stuff. Check out the Wager Pass while you're at it. Doc, any big thoughts on the upcoming week before we get out of here?
Brew, I cannot wait to see the 30 deep standings on Monday when I plan on being number one in power ranking, number one in record. That's what I'm waiting for.
I can't wait to get after this episode, go into the schedule and see when I play you because I'm going to take you down. And that's going to do it for us on Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.